Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Email drivetime@rte.ie.
Russia's prominent jailed opposition figure Alexei Navalny lost an appeal yesterday against a 9-year prison term. Navalny has long been seen as President Putin's most vocal critic in Russia, and he addressed the Moscow court via video link from his penal colony. Well, we're joined now by Vladimir Ashurkov, who is the executive director of the Anti-Corruption Foundation and a long-term ally of Alexei Navalny. And you're welcome, Vladimir, this evening to the programme. You might just remind us, I know Alexei Navalny, he's been detained in Russia since he returned home in 2020. Is that right?
That's right. He returned to Russia from Germany, where he was recuperating after his assassination in Russia. And he was immediately jailed in January 2021.
And his initial jail term was for 2.5 years. And then he got that bumped up to an extra 9 years. What was the justification for that?
Well, from the moment he was incarcerated a year and a half ago, we understood that Vladimir Putin intends to keep him in jail for the time Putin will be in office. Indeed, in the recent years, Navalny emerged as the most prominent opponent of the Russian president. The charge on which he was given 9 years is really bizarre. He's accused of stealing money from his own foundation, which was the main legal and organizational platform for his activities, the Anti-Corruption Foundation. So it's everybody sees it as a politically motivated trial.
Okay. During that address that he made to the court in Moscow yesterday, he launched a scathing attack on the war in Ukraine. He is implacably opposed to that invasion, is he?
Of course, despite the hard conditions of the Russian prison, voice of Alexei Navalny from the days the war started has been against the war and against the brutal and tyrannical regime of Vladimir Putin.
He also called President Putin a madman when he was speaking to the Moscow court. Was he allowed to say that, or was he cut off?
It's, you know, Russian system is quite legalistic. So if a convict during a trial, he has a right to the last word, and, you know, many political activists and Navalny himself many times use this last word as a sort of political statement. So it was he was able to say it as he wanted, and it's published in all Russian and major international media.
Yeah, and sorry, that's what I was going to ask. How much of what he had to say yesterday and what has happened to him would reach people in Russia through the media?
Indeed, since the start of the war, the last independent media outlets in Russia have been closed. You cannot reach international social media, Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, without a virtual private network software. YouTube is still free. But of course, the access to information, to the true information about what goes in Russia, to the true information what goes in Ukraine, is limited.
Quite a few people getting in touch with us, Vladimir, at the moment, asking, why did he go back? Why did he leave Germany and return to Russia? Did he know what was going to happen when he did that?
It wasn't a certainty that he would be arrested when he made this decision. But given his path of a opposition politician, I mean, it was only natural for him to return. His millions of supporters are in Russia. He built the most powerful political organization in Russia. He didn't do anything wrong. So to continue the work of his life, it was natural for him to return to Russia despite all the risks and threats.
So where is he being detained now, and how is his health?
He has been for the last year in a penal colony about 200 kilometers from Moscow. It's unclear whether he will be moved following the verdict yesterday. We keep communication with him through a lawyer who is allowed to visit him for about a day, for about an hour a day, and during which time he scribbles his notes to his family, to our team, and he reads whatever materials we send to him.
And are you concerned that he might be transferred, and indeed transferred to somewhere that might be harsher than where he is at the moment?
It is possible. They built sort of a prison within a prison for him. For instance, in about 30 inmates with whom he's held in one barrack, everybody is instructed not to talk to him and not to look at him. So even in current prison, it's more or less like a solitary confinement for him. But his mood is quite good, and he still as much a fighter as we known him when he was free.
Can I ask you, Vladimir, more widely then, more broadly about that war that Russia has launched against Ukraine? And I wonder, what do you know about the protests or the attempts at protests, the crackdown on protests against that war in Ukraine, in Russia?
Well, you know, Sarah, in the first days and weeks after the war started, there was a wave of protests in Russia. And they were brutally put out. About 15,000 people were detained in the weeks following the Russian invasion. Currently, people are quite afraid to protest, and because, you know, they risk detention, penalties, etc. But the war is quite unpopular. The average Russians have seen prices skyrocket. The familiar brands, McDonald's, IKEA, all leaving Russia. The lives of political and business elites have been turned upside down. Their fortunes decimated. So nobody really in Russia needs this war, even though it's dangerous to speak up against it.
And do you think the international sanctions are having any real impact?
Sanctions is not a silver bullet that can end the war immediately or put the end to Putin's regime. Sanctions have a more long-term effect. And indeed, they are severely affecting the Russian economy. It's estimated that it will the GDP will drop by 10 to 12% this year, and the average Russians have seen, you know, the goods disappearing from the market, from the shelves, and you know, there is also a stream of coffins from the battlefields in Ukraine. The state media doesn't talk about it, but people can't help notice it.
I know you were writing recently a really interesting piece that the West should consider basically an off-ramp way of easing sanctions for Russian individuals who condemn the war and who come out and renounce Putin, that the sanctions on those people would be eased as a way of sort of splitting the camp in Russia.
Indeed. I think it's now consensus in the Western world that even if the war stops, Putin will continue its aggression shortly, and he may be more prepared. So the real answer to European security, to security of the world, is changing the regime in Russia. And in order to do that, it only makes sense to seduce as many people in Russia from the business and political elite, people who know how the Russian system works, to seduce them to the side of good, to the side of peace. And, you know, a lot of people have been sanctioned, and I think a reasonable off-ramp for them would be if they publicly denounce the war, if they contribute a significant chunk of their wealth to the humanitarian aid to Ukraine, and they haven't been involved personally in war crimes and propaganda, I think the sanctions for these people should be eased. It's all in the interest of peace and security in the world.
Very interesting. And thank you very much for speaking to us this evening. That's Vladimir Ashurkov speaking to us there about Alexei Navalny.